Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We'll have the story of Max Starkloff and his longtime advocacy for disability rights in just a couple of moments. But first, several developments over the past couple of days in the Ferguson story. Darren Wilson, the police officer who shot and killed Michael Brown in August, has resigned from the Ferguson PD. He says he wants to help the healing process. More weekend demonstrations against the grand jury decision not to indict Wilson. Shopping was disrupted at malls. Several Rams football players showed their support for the protests. And Al Sharpton came to town, again vowing to continue the fight for justice. Today, President Obama is holding a series of meetings related to Ferguson. Joining us now to talk about that is Jim Howard, St. Louis Public Radio's Capitol correspondent. Jim, nice to talk to you again.
You too, Don.
I gather the president is concerned about what has been called the erosion of trust that surfaced following the Ferguson demonstrations. Tell me what you know about that.
Well, we know the White House is also concerned about the potential for greater unrest across the country. The Attorney General's focus on bridging the divide between law enforcement and the communities they serve actually began more than a year, about a year before the shooting in Ferguson. In front of a group of international police chiefs in Philadelphia last year, he raised this issue, and it certainly has been raised to a much higher level following the events in Ferguson. I think the White House is also potentially concerned about any reaction there might be should the Justice Department come back and say that they do not have enough evidence to return any kind of an indictment under its civil rights investigation that is ongoing, especially in the wake of the unrest that we saw in Ferguson following the grand jury's decision. So as we put the pieces together, it's clear the White House is trying to use the most recent events in Ferguson to be above this or ahead of this, or to be seen by those that are concerned with this issue as pushing for this national conversation that both the president and the attorney general say is necessary to heal these issues and strengthen neighborhoods and improve policing across the country.
There have been some critics of the president who say that he's come in a little bit too lightly and a little bit too late in all of this. Are you hearing any of that from our delegations there or from anybody else?
Well, I don't think anybody from the Missouri delegation has said it quite in those terms. I think all of this, you know, it has been a very rapid series of events since August 9th and coming up through last week's announcement concerning the grand jury. Most of the focus has been on the response that the Justice Department has brought in. They've been very busy with the community relations team that's on the ground there, with the what's known as the Community-Oriented Policing Services Program, the collaborative review that's underway in St. Louis County that was brought about by request by Chief Palmer there. So I don't hear anybody in Missouri questioning the commitment of the administration. I suspect you'll find that those who raise those kind of criticisms tend to be the individuals that feel that the White House and the administration in general haven't been listening to them. And I think that is exactly the audience that the White House is trying to appeal to in stepping up the activity today with all of the meetings taking place at the White House and with the Attorney General down in Atlanta today talking about these issues.
The president's pretty much devoting all day to this, attacking the issue on several fronts.
He, at noon Eastern time, about an hour ago, he started a cabinet meeting with the president, the vice president, and several members of the administration looking at the issue of the militarization of local law enforcement agencies. Specifically, there are at least three federal programs that either fund or directly provide heavy equipment, potential for weapons. The one that's probably the most well-known on the part of the public is the Pentagon's 1033 program. But the Pentagon says, you know, the vast majority of the equipment it gives out under that program is essentially communications equipment. But we do know from reports across the country that some heavy equipment has been given out, and in some cases weapons and things, and that has raised a lot of concern, especially since the initial reaction to the first protest back in August. We saw in the national media all those officers dressed up in what looked heavy combat kind of gear. So that issue was under discussion this morning beginning at noon Eastern time. At 2 o'clock this afternoon, the president meets with some young local and national civil rights leaders in the Oval Office to begin the conversation of how we bridge the divide between police and communities. And then less than an hour later, if the schedule stays on track, the president has a meeting with elected officials, community and faith leaders, and law enforcement officials, and the director of the so-called COPS program, Community-Oriented Policing Services, Ron Davis, to look at how they can go about making improvements to policing and how we can get everybody together on the same page on that.
He's certainly touching all bases. I was struck by the fact that the meeting with the young people, and young people seem to be a key to what's been going on in Ferguson, that's the shortest of all of the meetings.
Well, I suspect it's probably the fewest participants, and it's a way to get feedback from them. But it's not the only contact the White House has had. Back in September, you know, that Reverend Willis Johnson from the Wellspring Church there in the Ferguson area and two of his students came out to Washington, actually had a meeting at the White House. We know that the White House has been engaged at some level with individuals back in Ferguson. So today's meeting may be relatively short, but you know, the last time I got an hour in the Oval Office was never. It's almost impossible to do. So it's not a small thing for a man who has the whole world on his plate.
All of the meetings are closed to the press, I see. I guess that is not terribly unusual.
No, we understand there might be an availability or something much later in the day, but that's only listed as a potential final gathering. I don't know of any official contacts yet. I've been on the phone with the White House this morning. We have a specific contact there that handles Missouri and St. Louis issues. They are promising to get me a list of the participants or the attendees at today's meetings.
And outside of Washington, you pointed out before we went on the air that Senator Blunt is also getting involved in this story today.
Well, we know that Senator McCaskill was involved in a lot of negotiations with protesters and community organizers and police before the announcement from the grand jury. This morning, Senator Blunt was meeting with the two co-chairs of the new Ferguson Commission and met with did a tour through Ferguson yesterday and met with a number of individuals in Ferguson as well. So both of the U.S. senators and the affected representatives have been involved in this, and that's what Senator Blunt was doing this morning.
All right. Jim, anything else you need to tell us about Ferguson-related issues in Washington?
Well, one of the things that we were trying to chase down, and I'll put this out there as a marker for things to watch, we know that at one point the minority of the House Judiciary Committee is interested in trying to hold some sort of a hearing to look at the Ferguson shooting, especially since the grand jury came back and decided not to indict Officer Wilson. I suspect that as they move through the lame duck session, we'll hear more about the potential for, if it's not an official hearing, an unofficial hearing to at least keep the spotlight focused on Ferguson. We also know over the weekend here in Washington that protesters, pro-Ferguson protesters, shut down Washington's famed Beltway at least twice. Police came in, cleared the roadway, but the attention is still drawing local press here in D.C.
and in other parts of the country as well. Jim Howard, thank you so much for being with us and bringing us up to speed, and we'll be in touch, I'm sure, with regard to what transpired in the White House today. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
That's Jim Howard, our man in Washington, and we're thanking him once again for being with us. Now we move along.